Verse 28 and verse 29, the Bible says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them." So they arrive at Emmaus, you know, the trail, you know, in my mind, I'm like, it's exit, you know, 7.8, you know, exit right to Emmaus, you know, for those of you who can read road signs and know what exit numbers are. And that's in my mind. I see this trail on the mountainside and there's a little sign, you know, Emmaus that way. And so they start heading off, you know, to go home. And he makes as if he's going to keep going on. And, you know, that's an interesting thing. Matter of fact, when they realize that, the Bible says they want him to come so bad that they constrained him. And the Greek word there has the idea of employing force. I mean, it's almost like they're literally grabbing at him and saying, come on, you got to come with us, you know, don't keep going that way. But, you know, I thought about, have you ever had anybody compel you to want to stay with them? Sometimes maybe, sometimes not. You know, maybe it's that crazy uncle you got and you can't wait to leave. But some people are really hospitable and they really enjoy that. And these guys want to have Jesus stay over. And, you know, I thought also to myself, you know, isn't it great on the journey of life when you come across other believers? I mean, even as Brock was sharing up there in Wisconsin in an area that's heavily Roman Catholic, you know, you met some other believers. And, you know, if you're traveling and you're away from all the different kind of people that, you know, and now you're in a bunch of strangers, it's amazing how God will send believers along the way on the road of life to be an encouragement to you. And, you know, we, Jen and I, in our travels around the Caribbean, generally run into folks that, you know, other believers, and it's always such a tremendous blessing. And so they compel him, they're constraining him to come with them, and he, though, was acting as if he was going to go on. I don't miss this. I say this a lot in just in God's general character, that God doesn't force himself upon anybody. He doesn't force himself. And even in this context, we're talking about believers. These two were not pictures of unbelievers. These are disciples. We've already established, these are believers. They've believed that he was the Messiah, but right now, you know, they're struggling in their faith, but these are believers. You know, I thought about the famous verse, which I think is a wonderful verse to use in evangelism. It doesn't offend me when it's used. I do think it's, in a way, a measure, a picture of conversion. But you all know Revelation 3:20, right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You know, that verse there, people use it as an evangelism verse. And okay, but in its truest context, that is written in the early part of Revelation to the seven churches, and it's written to the church specifically of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And it's a picture of the child of God who is now into the world and is kind of not into his faith anymore. And Jesus is outside his heart door. Now, I know you say, well, doesn't he live in our heart? Well, and you're getting into semantics. All I would say is Jesus is standing and knocking on a door that he owns. He paid for it with his own blood, and now he's on the outside knocking and trying to get in. It's really a very rebuking verse to believers, and that's why I think we find it far more easy to use it as an evangelism verse. So you unbelievers, Jesus is knocking at your door, you better let him in. And again, it's a good picture, it's fair, it doesn't offend me, but in its best interpretation, he's talking about believers who are more in love with the world, so much so that they don't even hear the voice of Jesus anymore, and now Jesus is relegated to the point where he's outside the day-to-day concerns of your life, and he's having to knock. But I thought the verse is interesting that it says there in Revelation 20 that if you open the door, I'll come in, and what will he do? He will sup. He will have dinner with you, which is exactly what we're going to find that he does here. You know, the point of it is, do you enjoy traveling life with Jesus or not?